He's there sitting at his kiosk, his booth, his cubicle, manically shuffling through the papers, making sure everything is just so. Some might think he has a tic, some stereotypical OCD habit, but he doesn't. He's just organized and everything has its place. Such a vision helps him when the authorities roll in with their demands, and they always demand more. We need a little more this month. Swords and spears don't grow on trees, you know. You wouldn't want something bad to happen to your people now, would you? He knows these sayings because he has said them himself. And so it is better to be prepared, even if that means being meticulous. But so focused on his work, he almost misses the insult that is hurled at him. He hears from the crowd, "Hypocrite!" And he looks up but can't figure out who said it. He knows who everyone is in town, but he doesn't know them at all. He's not invited to their parties, their ball games, their dinners. When he knocks on the door, they only begrudgingly open, shoving that month's bill into his face as quickly as they can before slamming the door. He's shunned by the community, left out because of his profession. He only took this tax collector job so he could help his mom. She had all those bills that were piling up before she passed. They needed the money, or else they wouldn't have been able to keep up. They had felt like they were on a ship that was slowly taking on water, and this job was going to keep them afloat. It was his duty to make sure that his mom was taken care of. He is her son. It's his duty. Doesn't everybody remember that? Don't they remember that he's one of them, that he's just like them? Of course, he said he would give up the tax collecting job when he didn't need it anymore, but he got good at it, and the pay was good. After all that heartache and caretaking of his mother, wasn't a little security, a little cushion good after she passed? She had no life insurance. He had to take care of himself now. He took care of others. It was his turn. A little cushion couldn't be bad, could it? So what if security for him came at other people's expense? They were going to have to pay someone anyway. Why not him? Hypocrite, they say, and maybe. But he's a richer hypocrite than they are. Who needs their parties, their ball games, their dinners? Who needs them when he never has to wonder where he's going to get the next meal? He doesn't have to wonder if he can afford to buy a new shirt if that one gets stained. He's not going to have to worry if he can take a vacation to the lake this year. He can't save up pennies and dimes and quarters anymore. They hate him. But who are they going to call when they need to fix the AC in the synagogue? Their contempt feeds his ego and his self-importance, papering over whatever misgivings he might secretly hold. At last, that's what he tells himself when lying awake deep into the night. But he knows such justifications don't hold up to scrutiny. Deep down, he knows the truth. Tax collecting is not right. Charging more than what is owed, only to line his own pockets, that isn't honoring God. That's not loving your neighbor. This isn't what his mama taught him. This isn't what he wanted to do or who he wanted to be, a sort of reverse Robin Hood, robbing from the poor to give to the rich, including himself. He had dreams of making a difference, of helping the people around him. He grew up in this town, after all. He wanted to be a teacher or a firefighter or a nurse. And now he just can't help himself. Now he's alone, His mom is gone. His neighbors are filled with contempt. They hurl insults when they see him. There is a distance between what his life actually is and what he hoped it would be. It's a brokenness whose hurt lingers. It's the system. I'm trapped in a system bigger than myself, he says, to console his sorrow. And that's true. But his greed and want of comfort supersedes any attachment he has to those neighbors. He could have tried to break out of the system. But why do all that work and take all that risk? Easier just to go along, play his part and deal with the insults. He's been called worse than hypocrite. Plus, he's grown accustomed to a certain standard of living. But then he hears a voice and is snapped out of his daydream and back to reality. Follow me. That's it. That's all it said. Follow me. That's all that needed to be said. Like a gong, the word reverberates long after it is spoken. It goes out and does not return empty, accomplishing what is intended. Out of nothing, something new is born. A way has been made out of no way. Deliverance has come to he who was broken and hurting. He looks up and looks into the eyes of a man he's never met before, but one who seems to know everything about him and yet does not turn away. He sees Jesus, the Word made flesh. In that invitation, that command, really, Jesus doesn't ask, will you follow me? Like, won't you be my neighbor? He says, follow me. And it still reverberates. He hears the word continue to sound, but feels the call deep into his bones. Follow me and leave that empty rat race of trying to find happiness in the hollow category of more. Follow me and leave the self-justification and self-importance that serve only to separate you from those who would actually love you. Follow me and leave the excuses that keep you from seeing and feeling and believing the truth, tough as it is. Follow me. The word that was spoken before time began and will still be reverberating long after time ends goes into the deepest valleys filled to the brim with hurt, the most jagged parts of his broken heart. It does not sidestep or erase or reframe, but meets him right in those places that everyone has. The word meets him where no one, not even himself, would dare to go. The word meets him there and brings him mercy, brings him forgiveness and new life, calls him to something beyond himself. Is this too good to be true? He wonders. No. It's good because it is true. Follow me. And he does. He gets up. He leaves his kiosk, his booth, his cubicle, and he follows. He follows, leaving his corrupt job, his broken vision, and hurting soul. He follows and immediately is shown that he is actually, in fact, not alone. He never was. Because after he follows, he somehow gets drafted, we're not told how, into hosting a dinner party, a grill out, really, and finds out that there are more people just like him. More people who have heard the whisper of a word of something new, something different, something hopeful. He didn't put the word out. He didn't put it on Instagram. He didn't invite any people. He had no one to invite at all. But still, people came. People like him. People who are used to insults. People with skeletons in the closet. People who aren't usually invited. And yet they are the people willing to admit the truth of their hurt and brokenness, walking alongside others who are hurt and broken. They came and joined the party. But of course, as often happens, the Debbie Downers with the local HOA got wind of it. They always do. You know the type. The ones who think that their stuff doesn't stink. The ones who are all too comfortable telling other people what to do to get back on the up and up. The ones who make sure everyone knows how good and successful and right they are with the Lord. They come and try to shut the whole thing down. Why? Because the clientele, the guests, they don't look like they fit in here. They say, why those people here? Doesn't he know who they are and what they have done? Can't he get them to act right before calling and freeing and forgiving them? There's a proper way to do this, and this isn't it. They're talking about that word made flesh, but they're furtively giving a side eye to him and all the other guests, Matthew, as they hurl their thinly veiled insults. But then he hears the word speak one more time. The word spoke, and it still reverberates throughout time to me and you right now. The word spoke, and it still echoes into the deepest valleys of your hurt, of my jagged edges of brokenness. The word spoke, and forgiveness and new life meet us right here and right now. He said, healthy people don't need a doctor. But sick people do. Go and learn what this means. I want mercy, not sacrifice. I didn't come to call righteous people, but sinners. Thanks be to God. Amen.